This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh.
Hello.
And joined by Rich.
Hello.
For part two of the Video Game Awards breakdown. Now, we did already cover all the news and stuff, so check the podcast feed or previous video for that. Because now we're going to leap into the awards themselves. We got all the new stuff out the way. And pretty much just going to break down the biggest categories with the biggest, talking points, because there's a whole heap of stuff. There was like 23 awards in total. But last I checked, we're not that bothered about esports.
Ooh.
So going to leap into some other stuff. So best narrative, I'll read out some candidates.
Go on.
And you guys can offer a potential and I'll tell you who won. So best narrative was either Detroit Become Human, God of War, Life is Strange 2, or Marvel Spider-Man, or Red Dead Redemption 2.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
I think Red Dead 2 was, I think that was one that won it, but we did our prediction stuff the other week and we thought it might go to Spider-Man.
It actually did go to Red Dead Redemption 2. For me, I kind of thought that Red Dead's narrative was a little bit too, you can customize it too much, you can kind of go in any number of different directions. So I didn't necessarily think it was as tight as a God of War or a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I think that depending on how you play, if you play into the redemptive arc they want you to have towards the end of that game, then it is pretty powerful anyway.
That's why I think it clinched it, in my opinion, because not only is the writing really strong, the way that story itself, how it influences the way you play, and I know it doesn't influence everyone the same way. I know we had a big discussion that you should check out that podcast. But for me,
I'm right.
The way the story was going, the way Arthur developed through that experience actually impacted how I played as him. So I wasn't just running around doing the rock star thing of robbing everyone by the end, because I was fully embraced in that redemptive arc that I thought that would be weird and that would have a weird dissonance between it. And the way it impacted me as a player on a both a sort of emotional and in literally how I played it is, that's what elevates it.
And so, obviously, sans spoilers, because Little Rich hasn't got to chapter 6 yet.
I haven't, Rich.
There are some things that affect the way that you want to play that game, and I think that if you play into those things, to keep it as vague as hell, that's kind of what elevates Red Dead overall. So next category was Best Art Direction. This was between Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Octopath Traveler, or again, Red Dead Redemption 2, or Return of the Obra Dinn.
Return of the Obra Dinn.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Obra Dinn won, which is phenomenal.
Absolutely deserved it.
It's like, it's got this old school, it looks like an Apple II game.
Game Boy Camera.
It's like a Game Boy Camera game.
That's the best way I've been able to describe it. It looks like a 3D game played through a Game Boy Camera.
Yeah, it's like wireframes.
It's so beautiful. I can't really go on about
I'm a big fan. I think it's very old school. It's very wireframey. It's very dot matrixy. But the actual animation system within it is very fluid. It's just that I think Lucas Pope de-resed it to the point where, it looks like something from the early 80s.
Yeah.
But it still plays with the responsiveness of a modern game. Obra Dinn is like a murder mystery set aboard a pirate ship where you solve crimes with a supernatural book and compass. I cannot get enough of that game. But it's also there as well.
I do love that. For me, it would be a tie between that and Red Dead Redemption 2, because obviously I love Red Dead Redemption 2. But the sort of vistas in that game and the way the skyboxes in particular were really impressive. The way it did weather and kind of draw distances and the idea of these planes being in kind of the distance, somewhere you could actually go to was so picturesque and perfect that it had me in my actual real life looking at sunsets and going, looks like Red Dead Redemption.
They're it's not good enough.
The one in the
game is way better.
It's better.
The way that they kind of apply this oil pastel, oil painting approach to to the general scenery and the landscape and the time period, is absolutely gorgeous. Speaking of other things that look nice, best game direction was between A Way Out, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2.
direction was going to be between God of War and Red Dead 2.
I wanted a way out to win this because Mr. Big Fares was there. But Mr. J.J. Fares, now the way that he directed A Way Out was to do twin perspectives for every scene.
Yes.
And I thought that would have got him some accolades, assuming it was part of the conversation behind the scenes.
But he didn't win.
Did not win.
God of War.
God of War won, is a benchmark in gaming because the whole of God of War is one take.
Yeah.
One take as you can do in gaming. But that came with a whole bunch of different problems. Creative director Corey Barlog talks about they had to fundamentally rethink the entire game because everything needs to literally physically link to everything else.
Like boiling down to a, like, engine level.
Yeah.
It's an astonishing achievement.
Yeah, and it's like even when they do fast travel, you walk through a doorway into a holding area that like infinitely loops until the next bit is ready, but it's still one take until the next area is ready. And the fact that they made that work is kind of crazy.
That's really interesting. Like both of those games we mentioned there as potential candidates and obviously winners were God of War and A Way Out, and both of those fundamentally play around with kind of the video game form that we don't really think about. We are so used to thinking of video games as being cinematic, as just copying the style of movies, whereas this was very... Both of those games are very unique to video games. Mm-hmm. I know you have movies that are shot in one take, but not like a 40-hour experience like this.
It's the thing that, I mean, hardly any, like, you know, developers or, I don't know, like, cinematography in video games rarely gets played with or experimented with. Like, I mean, Hideo Kojima with Metal Gear 5, like, he did a lot of stuff in one take. I think a lot of that game's cutscenes are all in one take. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing Devil May Cry 3 when the camera goes inside his jacket as he puts his jacket on. And I was like, you could do shots like that in gaming, or in games that you can't do on set, like, and that without CG budgets. And so I quite like that people are starting to play with these things more and seeing what else they can achieve in cutscenes and storytelling and all that kind of stuff.
And I think like accolades like this will, in the end, sort of allow developers to take more risks. Like Corey Barlog was saying while he was promoting God of War, that he tried and failed for years to get this off the ground. When he was going to do the new Tomb Raider, he was like, we should do it one shot. And Square Enix were like, no.
That's impossible. I think, I mean, it is a hell of a thing. I mean, obviously the fact that God of War's pulled it off can, you know, show other devs how to do difficult things like a fast travel option or viewing the map or whatever. There's different ways to do it. So this next category was the first time when I watched them live until 4:30 in the morning, where I went, oh no, that was not who I wanted to win.
Okay.
So this was for best score/music. This was between Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, or Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, it's a good category.
Who won?
Red Dead?
You say Red Dead.
I hope Red Dead won.
Good Sir Rich, what do you say?
I mean, I'd say Red Dead. What were the nominees?
It was between Celeste, again? God of War, Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, or Red Dead Redemption.
I could see it going to Red Dead, I want to say, or Celeste.
Yes, if you're going to lock in a candidate, it was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right, okay.
Which made me go, oh, because I just won everything. It was just, you know, best mobile game. I was going to get that as well. And it was just everything. And so, yeah, it got best score. And obviously, I love it. The composer is Woody Jackson. And there's a bunch of great songs in Red Dead. And their placement really works with where the story is at that point. There's a particular house building scene in the epilogue that I adore. But I just compared that to the powerful moments in Spider-Man and the powerful moments in Celeste, and I think that Celeste's score elevates that entire thing so much in a way that I didn't think it did with Red Dead. I actually could barely pick out anything other than those two parts in Red Dead for me, but I don't know about you guys.
In our predictions for this, we talked about Spider-Man getting best score or music, and it's like the music is good, but it doesn't really add anything to some extent. Like, you're swinging about, you've got the violins having a bit of a time. It's like, that's great, it adds to the experience, but it doesn't really do much else.
I know what you mean. I think that the Spider-Man game, like, I think it's weird because the first time you take off at the beginning of the game, when you're still getting used to the swinging mechanics, and the first time you go out into the open world and you just kick off a building and you fly through the air and you hear the score rise up underneath you, I love that. But it is very derivative of Danny Elfman's work on the old Sam Raimi movie.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Sam Raimi,
and it's like, I think they're directly trying to connote that, because there are specific scenes in Spider-Man that are literally recreations of the movie, like the train scene or the fact that it's Doc Ock who's the main villain and stuff. But I mean, I guess, like, yeah, Red Dead has the most music for the sheer size of it.
I think at a glance, Celeste is kind of like the obvious winner. That's the one that sticks at the most. That's the one you remember. But when I was playing through Red Dead Redemption 2, when I was just riding around and the score would kind of kick in, it was so perfect and added so much to the overall mood of that game. Not even talking about the big actual, like, original songs in that game or the big explosive moments, just everything from those high points to the very kind of more sanguine points of riding around was all added to a certain mood that, like you said, Rich, elevated the material overall in a way that some of the other candidates did not.
True.
Spider-Man.
And Red Dead Redemption 2 also won Best Audio Design, which is like obviously the implementation of music into the game itself. Are you going to say Tetris Effect? Because I'll probably back you, to be honest.
Honestly, that's the... I mean, yeah, Tetris Effect got snubbed in that respect.
Yeah.
It should have absolutely got... probably not original music, but I think...
The design though, like,
is absolutely exceptional.
True. And Tetris Effect's score is fundamentally woven into that game, like,
yes,
in a way
like
that nothing else is.
It genuinely does. It is like, it is part of the braid that
builds the entire
game. So, and it didn't get nominated at all, but Black Ops 4 did.
What,
the sound
it
design, as you do.
Oh, the guns sound good again. Yeah, sure. So the next category was Best Performance. Now, this one was between Brian Deckard as Connor from Detroit, Christopher Judge as Kratos from God of War, Missalanthi Mahout as Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan from Red Dead 2, or Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker in Marvel's Spider-Man.
Oh, Yuri
Very
Lowenthal.
Very tough category. Spidey both ways?
My money was on Yuri.
You're both wrong. It was Roger Clark because Red Dead Redemption 2.
Can't complain.
No, I
mean,
I guess not.
You can't dispute that at all, but I just think with how good and how much effort was put into Yuri's performance, mm-hmm. both in technical, like the whole, we recorded the lines twice over, which apparently I think
they do that in Red Dead
as well,
too,
in Red Dead. But then also, as you said, the later part of the game, the end of the game of Spider-Man, just his performance.
That's the thing.
Exceptional.
There's a level of charisma that comes through from Lowenthal. I mean, like Ewan, when he wrote many different pieces up on this, has said that it's his favorite in-game Spidey, or potentially his favorite voiced Spider-Man performance ever, because he nails that mix of charismatic sort of performances, like the interpersonal relationships that he has, like the way he gets on with MJ. But he also has this kind of fragility to him and this sort of level of naivety sometimes. He just leaps into situations and figures it out later. And then you have the emotional backbone of his relationship to Doc Ock and everything. And so I would say there's more to Lowenthal's performance, but, in terms of the range, there's obviously more to Roger Clark's performance. I mean, his script must have been all 50 million pages long.
Yeah.
70 hours. I've not had a single repeat line of dialogue in Red Dead 2, and I must have played about 80 hours of
That's
it.
That's a great
so
point, actually.
That script must just be, he must have just lived as that character for a hell of a long time.
The thing with Arthur Morgan that I think is sort of brow in the performance is the vulnerability that you don't get if you just kind of like play through the story mode, because in the story mode you get Arthur as a very loyal person who's just ready to do whatever, but if you sort of delve into when he's reading the notes or the scenes with Mary, there is such a horrible insecure vulnerability to that man, like a pit of despair at his heart. You just want him to be happy,
right.
And also the way he talks to his horse is how I want to be talked to by everyone in my
life. it is very drawn out and very brass-like. It's got a very metallic quality to the way he sort of like sounds everything out.
Yeah. I think for me though, like going back to Yuri and Spider-Man is I think with that, obviously with Arthur Morgan, he's got such depth across the course of the game, and you'd kind of expect that from this. But with Spider-Man, they could have made Peter Parker moderately one-dimensional, and it would have still worked, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think his performance drew to that. I know I've just changed the subject, but I think that should have gone to you.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the script of Spider-Man. Like, there's a lot of layers to each of those characters. I mean, someone literally called Doc Ock, and they make you really care about him.
Yeah.
In the same way that obviously the Spider-Man 2 movie did. So moving into weightier territory, this is Best Independent Game. So this is between Celeste, Dead Cells, Into the Breach, Return of the Obra Dinn, or The Messenger. Now, this is a hell of a category.
It's a toughie, isn't it?
All five of these are phenomenal. I love every single one of them.
Based on where, like, one of those titles in particular ended up in relation to the rest of the nominations, of course it was Celeste.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It was, Celeste. Yeah, thank the Lord. Well, our full Game of the Year podcast and video and all that kind of stuff is going up later, so you have to come back and check out for that. But Celeste did win the VGA's Best Independent Game, which is great. And the message that when Matt Thorson, the creative director, got up on stage and did this little talk about mental health, and like he was like, if my game's helped you in any way, then like just know that you can keep going, you can do it. And it's obviously an extension of what the game is about. And so like that's outside of the fact of the way that the game came together, the independent sort of philosophies and mentalities that go into creating a game outside of the established industry system. Something like Celeste is just, for me, it's a hell of an achievement on a script writing and gameplay level.
Celeste was one of those games for me that, you know, when you played a lot of big budget AAA releases in a row and you kind of...
A palate cleanser.
You need a palate cleanser. It's not that you're getting bored of them, they're all great, but they all kind of blur into one big experience and you just crave something different. When I sat down and played Celeste over a weekend, it was such a snappy, immediate, resonant experience, and I was like, wow, this is just so good. Everything clicks from the gameplay to the story and the way they intertwine to create that overall point about, you know, mental health and keep pushing through like the darkness and making amends with that dark part of you that you try to
like understand it.
Yeah, and using it as a force for good was like, yeah, that
it's
hit
the
me.
Best message in a game, especially this. Well, I mean, I actually quite like Red Dead 2's takeaway message, depending on how you play it. But the things that are in that are great. But yeah, you do need the juxtaposition, I think, especially considering that the majority of the bigger games this year have been the biggest, most bombastic, most over the top, hefty hashtag content games that we've had
the
in quite
most
some time.
Games.
The most games. Celeste also bagged Games for Impact, which is a great little category in support of the different things that it promotes as regards to mental health. Next category is Best Action Game. This is between Black Ops 4, Dead Cells, Destiny 2, Far Cry 5, oh, Mega Man 11. How
An
and why?
Interesting category.
Mega Man 11 in this, but you know, not to worry. I would have shouted for Black Ops 4.
Yeah, I think that's probably, out of all the things it was nominated for, I think there's only like one or two awards. That was probably the only one I had a potential shot for. Because, you know, as we've discussed in our Game of the Year thing that we'll be going up at some point when it's done.
Before Christmas.
Before Christmas at some point. You know, we were saying like it brought so much back for the series and it was so successful across the board. Like, it was in for a shot, I'd say. But
definitely for a shot.
Didn't win, though.
I'm thinking it's got to be Dead Cells, because the moment I picked up that game, I knew I needed more of it in my veins.
You are right, Josh Brown. It was Dead Cells as the best action game from the VGAs. Now, this is made by developer Motion Twin, which is the perfect name for a game that is as fluid as Dead Cells. Like, that game has such a crazy feedback loop. Like, once you tap into it, you'll just lose hours to grinding through it. I mean, it's a roguelike, so you try and do as much as you can. It resets, you go again. But the way that game plays, the side-scrolling nature of it, the fact that you have to unlock different items to get into different areas, to get better loot, to keep going, to try again. again. It's got a hell of a series of loops to it, and they don't skimp on anything on the performance side, so you can just play and play and play for as long as you want. I'm really glad that an event as big as the VGAs gave it to something like Dead Cells.
I think it's one of the best things about this year. I mean, I said this to you after we recorded Game of the Year earlier, and just looking at the games that were both nominated and the stuff that won, it's such a diverse cast of characters in terms of games like we've had in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. It's especially the range of genres, the range of art styles, like the range of different developer mentalities that are going into
it. That's the hard point, because like when we were talking about the best art direction and best sound earlier, all the games are so good yet so different that it kind of feels unfair to just give it to one, because they all succeed in doing completely different things. It's not a bunch of games vying for the same pot to be the best at what they do. It's spinning off into completely new directions and trying new things. And
I feel like if you went back through old like award ceremonies from years gone by, maybe that particular category would have gone towards what looked the most realistic at the time.
Definitely.
And now that we've reached that plateau, they're now going, right, okay, so now what just looks cool? And
well,
that's what
they've
kind of gone back to, and I think that really, that works so much better, because I'm pretty certain Cuphead won it last year.
Yes, I
quite
think so.
Quite rightly so.
For that particular animation style, it's
well,
such
exactly,
a great
yeah,
old
like,
school
it was
look.
So unique, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to push that boat out further for that. I mean, what was that the game called that was shown off at E3 last year, I want to say? The kind of the Octopath Traveler 3D with pixels. What's it called?
Is that not Octopath Traveler?
No. There was another one.
Oh, I do not know.
But
there is
I
one
similar. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but it's like a neon like city.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. Like that kind of approach to doing a completely new aesthetic. I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes. In the same way the first time I saw Obra Dinn, I went, whoa, this is really... It feels so... right for this guy to go and do Papers, Please and then move on to this for some reason, but it looks so cool.
What's that thing called? It's called like, it's called The Last something.
The Last Night, is it?
Or might be The Last Night.
Is it something to do with night?
Hopefully you guys all know what we mean anyway, yes, I think it's called The Last Night. Anyway, let's throw a spanner in the works because this category is a bit harder. Best family game. Mario Tennis. Mario Tennis, Nintendo Labo, Overcooked 2, Starlink Battle for Atlas, or Super Mario Party. Didn't mean to laugh at Mario Tennis, though, by the way.
You did.
I just read the wrong list.
Mario Tennis is like...
It's fine.
It's
all
right. I wasn't a huge fan of the beta.
Yes, no, exactly, yeah. What do you reckon would capture the minds and hearts of all the families?
Well, it wasn't Starlink.
It was not Starlink.
Sake, it was not Starlink.
But do you love Star Fox?
Super Mario Party is a good idea, but it doesn't tap into everyone. But I think Overcooked 2.
Shout.
Are you going Overcooked 2?
Yeah.
Overcooked 2 was the best family game, although I guarantee that it split up more families than it kept together.
I mean, yeah,
because that game
wrong.
Is stress incarnate.
But it is a good game.
I know
Scott really doesn't like
it. It reminds me of working. It reminds me of work in retail. It reminds me of getting everyone.
I used to work in service doing food and stuff, so I saw it more from walking into the kitchen to pick up food.
It reminds me of like I used to work at the stock rooms in Argos for the longest time, and it's the Christmas rush, and it's like all the little ticket machines going off, and you run back and forth trying to get everything, and you're never fast enough, and it's always beeping. And
I mean, you are right. You do get those Vietnam flashbacks.
Working
in service with a chef who was just such a dick.
Not to worry. Let's end on a lovely big thing. Let's end on Game of the Year. What were you going to ask?
I thought it was going to be Best VR Game.
No, I actually deleted that category because only you care.
And Tetris Effect didn't win, therefore it's not
it
worth
did not.
About
the best VR category for the sake of throwing it in was Astro Boy,
which
apparently is very good. But yes, Game of the Year. Now, this is between Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2, and God of War. Now, don't give away what you voted for in the video that we did. What do you think has won from
when we did our predictions for this, we honestly couldn't put one down. We said it was going to be either between Red Dead 2, God of War, or Spider-Man. Mm-hmm, it was going to be one of those three. The rest of the stuff that got nominated, was Assassin's Creed nominated?
Yes.
Not really sure. What was there. Mm-hmm. But things like Celeste getting that, because when they first revealed that it was in the
running for
Game of the Year,
Celeste got nominated.
Everyone just went, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Genuinely, if I could narrow it down even further, it would be between Red Dead 2 and God of War.
Okay.
But Red Dead 2 or God of War, I don't know. Red Dead 2's got a lot of love in this award ceremony
now this,
so far. So.
This pleased me so much because it wasn't Red Dead Redemption 2, it was God of War, which is by far the best game of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
Like Rich said, like in comments I've seen all over the internet, people have been saying, my game of the year is like Spider-Man, God of Redemption or whatever. Those three are genuinely hard to pick apart. And I would be happy with any of them. And I'm pleased God of War won because it really is a real technical achievement and real real statement for the PS4 as a whole.
Yeah,
and everyone who worked on that game just seems to be genuinely in love with video games, which is awesome to see.
I think that's one of the best things about, like, for some reason, just this year in general, like, people have become more open with games. I think that's why the selection at the Game Awards looks so diverse. But there doesn't seem to be you have to have one that you like the best. You are allowed to like more than one thing that's in the same field. And that's why, like Spider-Man, Red Dead, God of War, like three exceptional games.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like you just, it's hard to put any kind of wall between them. I know that obviously there are, people have their own interpretations as to how they would rank those three. But, you know, if it had gone to anything of those, bar Assassin's Creed, I'd probably been okay. If it went to Assassin's Creed, I think most people would sit there and go,
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, it's like, regardless, it's a phenomenal year. And, like, you've got, like, a top three or a top four, including Celeste as well, or Monster Hunter, that are all, you know, eminently playable games, and they've all got so much to offer. Obviously, Red Dead is the most game. Although Assassin's Creed is obviously massive as well. But, yeah, but God of War managed to take it. And, like you said, like, the labor of love that came from Corey Barlog and his team, it was a 5-year development. And you need to only watch the reaction to him when it came out.
When he saw the reviews.
When he saw the reviews, he's like, man, this all paid off.
Fantastic.
Because they had such a risk, and they talk about it as well. Their winning speech is really, really nice. Actually, kind of rotated my eye because I've followed the development of it quite closely. And they just literally talked about what they went through, the fact they came up against so many risks as far as Sony were like, you know, you're reinventing one of our most bankable characters. And it paid off. They managed to get there. You know, they've pulled the game off. It works incredibly well. And obviously, it has the accolades, has the critical backing of it now. And it was just great to see. So as far as the Game Awards are concerned, God of War is their number one, but everyone's going to be different.
Red Dead 2 swept up most of the awards.
Yes, yeah. Red Dead 2 took
nine on
everything.
I mean, at the end of the day, quite rightly so. It's not like they didn't deserve it.
Best content creator, Red Dead 2.
At least Fortnite didn't win Game of the Year.
No, it didn't. I think it was...
It won quite a few things, did it? I don't know.
It won like best multiplayer game and best ongoing game, which again, you know, quite rightly deserved, to be honest with you. Like, there was nothing, I don't think, across this year's awards that really didn't deserve it. I think the only thing was Fortnite winning the golden joysticks that turned.
I actually think, as a closing couple of minutes, that this was by far the best that the Game Awards has been. Having watched them since they began and kind of watching the cringe fest that have been previous years, this year's was incredibly confident. Jeff Keighley seems to have like been able to sort of be the nerd that he obviously is, because he always used to be a games journalist anyway. And he's like, he was just talking about like in between different transitions between sections, he was like, and there's an interview with these guys, like, you know, you can go check out this channel to talk about this person more. It was all about representation of different fields, the craft of video games. It's a lot of respect towards the creators. The musical performances were great, and the nomination selections are brilliant, and the winners all felt fair.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like they were doing it for a popular vote or just like this, you know, sort of controversial where a critic will go for this kind of thing. Everything felt really thought out, and I kind of think this is the future of award ceremonies and trade shows. I think if E3 falls away, this is more than a suitable replacement. For me, I'm kind of... Pretty happy, man.
I've got a question for you, though.
Bring it.
I've got a question for you both.
Okay.
With the amount of
Spyro's games, not a 2018 game.
Spyro should have won Game of the Year, but that's for a different podcast entirely. The amount of games on show this year, the amount of great games we've all played, is this the best year for the generation
so
far?
Yes, by an absolute landslide.
Yeah, I think so. For consistent quality and also diversity in what you can play, I'd say yes.
Josh is going to say no.
Well, I don't know. I'm genuinely interested in what you guys have to say, because it could be. I need to play a few more. Mm-hmm. There are a few big hitters I didn't manage to play tell you, but it's definitely a contender.
When I initially started looking over the entire list of the year to even bring together that initial smattering of stuff that we all then shared and picked apart and added to and whatever, there was about 33 games that were all outstanding games. Like, ranging from Assassin's Creed to Unravel, from Minute to Grip or whatever. Great, really well thought out, brilliantly, you know, passionful games. Passionful is not a word, but near enough. And I think that all those things have something to offer. Each one of them has something to offer. And we didn't see like a cluster of games all coming from the same area that was all pretty much the same thing. So for me, yes, it's a hell of a year. And we've still got Last of Us 2 and everything to come next year as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the horizon.
Yes. Let us know what you think down in the comments if you're watching the video, or find us on social media. You can also use the hashtag WCGP to let us know what you think about anything at all. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Josh.
Hello.
And joined by Rich.
Hello.
I'll catch you guys soon.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.